Turning in God's Word again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. As we come to the preaching of the truth this evening, let's just ask for the Lord's help and the Lord's blessing as we come to these final moments in our meeting. Our Father in heaven, we just bless thee tonight. And thou art a faithful God. Bless thee, O Lord, for your faithfulness towards us. Bless thee also, thou art a covenant-keeping God. Thou was entered into covenant to save a people. From your joy to Jesus Christ is the faithful one. He is the wonderful Saviour. He has come into this world and done all that is necessary for a full redemption. And we pray, Lord, as we come to the preaching of the gospel, that thou wouldst give grace and thou wouldst give help. And give wisdom, Lord, both to the preacher and hearer alike. And give an obedient ear, give an understanding heart. And we ask, Lord, as the Christ of God is uplifted in the preaching of the gospel, may, Lord, your people be encouraged in their own souls and strengthened in their faith. And for those out of Christ, may they come. May they forsake their sin. May they forsake this world and come and embrace Christ in the gospel. Again, give help in the preaching of thy word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The message of the Bible is a message of salvation for fallen and ruined man. As God speaks in his word, he speaks to bring before the hearts and minds of men and women, young people and children, the glorious and wonderful news of salvation, which he provides in and through his Son. If we wanted to summarize the message of the Bible down to one simple statement, we could say, the message of God's word, the message of the Bible is salvation for the sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. We could really summarize the Bible down into that statement. It is the message of salvation for the sinner through the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people and there are many churches, and they will read the Bible, they will quote from God's word, and they may even draw moral and ethical lessons from the scriptures. But sadly, these same people ignore and turn a blind eye to the central truth, to the central message, to the central thread running through scripture. Salvation for the sinner in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of God's word. This is the message of scripture. And if we miss this message, if we fail to grasp this central truth, their understanding of this book is completely wrong. It is completely flawed. If you think right back to what God said after man fell into sin, God spoke and his word came graciously to Adam and Eve. And what God said was this: the seed of the woman, and that is a reference of course to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is uniquely the seed of the woman. He was virgin born. The seed of the woman would bruise or crush the serpent's head. And the serpent is a reference, of course, to the devil, which deceived Eve. There we have the very commencement of Scripture, the message of salvation. The very first time God speaks to man after he fell into sin, what did he reveal to him? He revealed a message of salvation through his Son, through the seed of the woman, through the incarnate God, the God-man, coming into this world and dying in our place and in our stead. If you think of Noah's day, Noah built the ark for the saving of himself and his family. What is that teaching us? It is teaching us there is salvation. Salvation from the judgment of God upon sin and upon rebellion. God judged this sinful world because of their rebellion, because of their sin. And yet God provided salvation through the ark. And what is God teaching us? Teaching us again, there is salvation provided through him. If you think of Israel and Egypt, God saved the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and from Pharaoh in bondage there. God delivered them through the blood of the Lamb. And again, the message is very clear. God is the God of salvation. And he's showing us, he's revealing to us that he can deliver and that he does save men from the bondage of their sin, from their slavery, through means of sacrifice. And of course that is pointing again to his Son, who would come and offer himself upon the cross. As the Lord Jesus Christ entered this world, his message to man was this: for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And again, the message is very clear. The central truth of Scripture is this: there is salvation for man through the Son. If we were to go to the very last book of the Bible, of course, we're jumping over huge portions of Scripture. We could turn to example after example. But if we were to go to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, And in the book of Revelation, God's word comes again to man. We have in the dying words of this book the central message, the central theme of Scripture again brought before us. The final invitation of God is given to man. God says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This book is the book of salvation. And so God is issuing forth the great invitation to fallen and ruined man. Come to me. Seek my salvation that is provided for you through the Son. Let no one be in any doubt. Let no one be mistaken concerning the central truth and message of God's word. It is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we must be absolutely clear on this issue. This is what this book is all about. And though men might talk about moral issues and ethical issues, though men might refer to God's word as a book of illustration, the central message never changes. It's salvation for man through the Savior. That is why we have this gospel meeting tonight. It is to preach Christ. To preach the message of this book for the salvation of your soul. And so the message of this book is a message of salvation. However, alongside this wonderful message of salvation contained in God's word, there is also a solemn warning given. It is a warning to all who reject the salvation which God declares in his word. You see, the truth of this book is not something that we can just take or leave. It is not something which we can just flippantly dismiss without consequences. God here brings his word to our hearts. He brings his truth to our minds. This truth requires a response. This is not something that we can just take or leave at our leisure. No, you're exactly what God says, and the consequences of that will be God's judgment and God's wrath upon your head. In the Bible, we are warned on numerous occasions of the dangers of turning from the message of this book. Think of Cain again in the beginning. God spoke to Cain. He spoke to him about how he could be accepted by God by bringing the blood sacrifice. Cain rejected it. God rejected Cain. Think of the people in Noah's day that didn't enter into the ark. They perished. There was the warning. Psalm 9:17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell. Time and time again in this word, we are given warnings for rejecting the message of salvation, from turning from God. Yes, this book is the book of life. But it also carries a solemn warning. You turn from the book of life, and death, eternal death, will be your portion. One of the most solemn warnings given to us concerning turning from God's salvation is what happened to a woman who quite literally turned her back on God. We're not given this woman's name. She's only identified in Scripture as Lot's wife. Lot and his family had been living in wicked Sodom. But because of the grievous wickedness of that place, God was going to move in judgment and destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. In mercy, God sent him his angel to bring out Lot and his family, to deliver them, to save them. As this family were escaping out of Sodom, God's word to them was this: escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. That was God's message to them. This family were to flee and not to look back. But then we read in Genesis 19:26, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife looked back, and God's judgment fell upon her head. She looked back, and she was punished and judged for her sin. Many years later, as the Lord Jesus Christ preached, he was preaching a message of life, a message of salvation. He was the one who came and said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was declaring the way of salvation. But as he did that, on one occasion he pointed the people to Lot's wife. He pointed them to Lot's wife. In the words of our text this evening, verse 32, Christ simply said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. It is so important to remember Lot's wife. For she stands as a solemn monumental warning to all who reject God's salvation. That's what Lot's wife does. She stands as a solemn monumental warning to all who reject the way of life, who reject the truth of God, and continue on in their sin. In the dying moments of this meeting, I want us to remember Lot's wife. We must remember Lot's wife, for she stands as a warning to all who dismiss the message of God. That's why we must firstly remember Lot's wife, because she stands as a warning to all who dismiss the message of God. Lot's wife had received the message of God so clearly and unmistakably. God said to her through his messenger, escape for thy life and look not behind thee. This was a simple message, clearly directing Lot's wife to what she must do. Run for your life and don't look back. But Lot's wife in her unbelief dismissed the message of God. And she stopped and looked back, and God's judgment fell upon her. She became a pillar of salt. We must remember Lot's wife, for her ruin stands as a testimony to all who dismiss the message of God. God has spoken in his word very, very clearly concerning the greatest matter of all, the matter of your salvation. The Bible is unmistakably clear. It is emphatically clear. There is no questions, there is no ifs and buts, there is no uncertainty to what you must do if you are to be saved. Yes, people, many people will have their ideas. And many people will have their own opinions about how to get to heaven. And many different religions have their methods. And they say you must do this or you must do that. But really all of these things are of no consequence. Because when you get to God's word is emphatically clear. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what some religion says. All that counts is what God says. And here we have the message of God so clearly set before us. And God tells us if we are to be saved, then we must have Christ as our Savior. All of your opinions, all of your ideas, all of your thoughts matter not. Because this is God speaking. The message of God to man and sin is this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. You have got the Son. If Christ is your Savior, if you know him, if you love him, then you have good life. If not, the wrath of God abides upon you. Think again of the words in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Salvation is exclusively in Christ. Exclusively in him. Again, it is so clear. And tonight I want to be clear. I want to be simple. Maybe you're saying, well, this is a very simple message. Amen. I want to be simple tonight. I want to give a simple warning concerning the message of salvation and the warning of rejecting God's truth. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, it is so simple. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All that matters, therefore, is do you know Christ as your Savior? Well, the message of God to the dear sinner is crystal clear. You need Christ. Cannot be in any doubt of this. This is what God has said. This is what his word reveals. You need the Savior tonight. Therefore, if you refuse Christ, if you refuse to confess and repent of your sin, if you refuse to call on God for mercy, you're simply following in the footsteps of Lot's wife. You're walking the road to hell. You're dismissing the message of God.
Is this what you're doing tonight?
Yes, you know well what God says. If the truth was to be told, you do not need a preacher. You do not need someone to come alongside you and explain to you the way of salvation. You know that you need Christ. For you've been schooled in it. You've been brought up in it. You've often heard the message of the gospel which speaks of the one and the only one who saves. You've heard on countless occasions of how Christ has died and taken the sinner's place, taken the place of judgment. But you still have never escaped for your life to Christ. Yes, you've received the message of God, you know it well. But in your heart you've dismissed it. Let me tell you this, that's exactly what Lot's wife did. That's why we must remember Lot's wife. She knew what she had to do. Escape for thy life and look not back. It was clear. But she dismissed the message. And she looked back and she perished in her sin. Tell me, is this what you're doing tonight? Is this where you're found this evening? Dismissing the message of God? Going on in your sin? Remember Lot's wife. You have to remember Lot's wife because she's a warning to all who dismiss the message of God. She's also a warning to all who despise the mercy of God. All who despise the mercy of God. How merciful was God towards Lot, his wife, and his family? There was Lot, and he was living with his family in the city of Sodom. God had pronounced his judgment against this wicked place. The sword of his holy wrath was drawn over it. It was about to fall. God was going to move in wrath against these cities because of their sin. Yet God, just before he judges them, by raining fire and brimstone upon them, he sends in his angels to rescue Lot and to rescue his family. What mercy is this family shown? In the book of Genesis, we read of the great mercy that was shown to Lot and to his family. This is what it says in Genesis 19, 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men of the angels laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. See how God was merciful to this family. When they lingered, when they failed to see the urgency of the situation, God's angels, God's messengers, laid hold upon them and brought them out of the city and urged them to escape to the place of safety. Think about all the families which lived in Sodom. Home after home. Family after family. Street after street. Multitudes of people living there. But it was Lot and his wife and his two daughters which God through his angels laid hold upon. God showed this family great mercy. And so as Lot's wife looked back, she turned her back on God and looked towards Sodom. She was despising the great mercy of God which she had been shown. That was exactly what she was doing. She was despising the mercy of God. We must remember Lot's wife. She was one who despised the mercy of God. Her ruin is a warning to all who have enjoyed in their lives the mercy of gospel privileges, and yet they turn their back on God. She's a warning to all who do that. God's angel in mercy laid hold upon Lot's wife. They took her by the hand, literally, and they pointed her to the place of refuge. But how has God in mercy laid hold upon you? How has God in mercy laid hold upon you? You have enjoyed gospel privileges while others have been passed by and left to perish in their sin. This very meeting This evening is God laying hold upon you again. You're here because God, in mercy, has so ordered your life and the affairs of your life. Here you are again in the house of God. God, in mercy, has brought you under the preaching of His truth. For you are being pointed to the one who can save and rescue you, and deliver you. This is God showing mercy. God laying hold upon you. Maybe God has laid hold upon you through a Christian upbringing, Christian relations and friends. Maybe God has laid hold upon you through Christian colleagues at work. It seems as if everywhere you turn there's someone else witnessing to you. There's another Christian you bump into. So many other people have been passed by. Perhaps God has laid hold upon you by showing you one who has been converted and you've witnessed the transformation in their lives. You've seen it for yourself. You've seen one who was a rebel, an ungodly person, who hated the things of God, and their lives have been transformed. You have seen it. You witnessed the power of the gospel in their lives. God in mercy has laid hold upon you. And yet here you are, after God being so merciful towards you, still turning your back on Christ. Despising the mercy of God, oh, but be warned. Remember Lot's wife. She despised God's great mercy, and her ruin was both swift and sudden. She was cut off in a moment of time. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He that been often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." This is what happened to Lot's wife. Such mercy, such privileges, such blessing. Very angel from heaven laid hold upon her. You despised it all. And she looked back. What a warning the wife of Lot is. Oh, you cannot despise the mercy of God and not suffer the judgment of God. You cannot. You simply cannot. If you despise God's mercy, you're inviting His wrath upon your head. This lady stands as a monumental warning that you cannot despise God's mercy and not be judged, not perish in your sin. Oh, we are to remember Lot's wife, because she warns all who dismiss the message of God. She's a warning to all who despise the mercy of God. And finally, we are to remember Lot's wife, because she is a warning to all who decide for mammon instead of God. Those who decide for mammon instead of God. Lot's wife, looking back, reveals to us what she loved and what she desired. That's really what it reveals, what she loved and what she desired. Let us just for a moment place ourselves into the shoes of this woman. She had now lived for a number of years in Sodom. Sodom was a wealthy, prosperous place. It was one of the great cities of that time. Remember, as Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom, he pitched it towards Sodom because it was a wealthy place. Because economically it made good sense. He was going to make money. He was going to prosper. He would have all of the luxuries of life. And perhaps he thought when he considered these things, well, I will be able to give my children a good education. There'll be good universities there. Business will go well. Prosperity will flow to me. Lot and his wife had lived and enjoyed prosperity as far as the things of this world were concerned. So there she enjoyed the many luxuries and comforts in life. The things of this world had become the great and important things of her life. And so as she was taken out of Sodom, suddenly taken out of Sodom, and now she walks further and further away from the city. She ponders in her heart all that she is leaving behind, the comforts, the luxuries, the pleasures of life. And now as she thinks on these things, she with a longing heart and longing eyes turns her back on God. And she looks back. She looks back. You see, this looking back was not a mere glance to see God's judgment. That's not what it was about. This looking back was the decision of her heart. It was the decision of her heart. She wanted the world. And she wanted all that had to offer. She loved Sodom. Her heart was in that place. And so she looks back, not interested in God's mercy, not interested in God's salvation. She wanted the world. She looked back because that's where her heart lay. She decided for mammon instead of God. Remember what Christ said? You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have this world and the things of this world and the sin of this world and the things of Christ and of God. That's what happened to Lot. And Lot's wife stands as a reminder to us tonight that we cannot have our sin and God's salvation. The two are incompatible. Completely incompatible. Salvation requires repentance. But there was no repentance in the heart of Lot's wife. There was but love for sin and the things of this world. In verse 33, Christ tells here after, he says, remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Notice those words immediately after Christ says, remember Lot's wife, because that's what she did. She tried to save her life of sin and pleasure, but she lost it. Christ also asked the question in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lot's wife. If she had gained all of the things that her heart desired after in Sodom, she would still have lost her soul. We must remember her tonight, because she stands as this warning to all who take this foolish road. Here we are tonight, this gospel evening service. In many ways, we are in a similar position to where Lot's wife stood that day she looked back. Before Lot's wife, there was safety, there was refuge. The angel had pointed her, the messenger from God had pointed her to the way of safety. And behind her was her sin. She turned and she chose her sin. Here we are tonight. And again, what is before us is the gospel. What Christ has done for the sinner. How he has come into this world, how he has come and lived to provide for us righteousness through his obedience. How he has went to the cross and died for our salvation, shed his blood, took our judgment that we might be saved, to purchase for us eternal life. Here we have Christ. Here we have the place of safety. Here we have the one who can deliver us. Set before us tonight. And yet there's the world out there. There is your sin. There is the things that you love, the things that are dear to you in this sinfully corrupt world. What will you do tonight? What will you do? Will it be the mammon of this world? Or will it be the Christ of God? Remember Lot's wife. She turned her back on God's salvation. She chose the world. And her end was destruction. Oh, remember Lot's wife. Do not go down the same foolish path. Do not forsake the Christ of God. But seek him tonight. As I said at the very beginning, this book is a message of salvation. That's the central thing. That is the truth of what is hid here in Scripture. That is what is revealed for your salvation. Don't turn from that message. Don't reject Christ. Remember Lot's wife. And seek the seed this evening. And know what it is to be saved. I trust you will. May God bless His truth to each one of our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.